Our scripture reading today is from Genesis chapter 12, verses 1 through 5, found in the Old Testament section in your Bible. Today, I will be reading the scripture in Spanish. Feel free to follow along in your Bible or on the screen. Llamamiento de Abraham. El Señor le dijo a Abraham, Deja tu tierra, tus parientes y la casa de tu padre, y vete a la tierra que te mostraré. Haré de ti una nación grande y te bendiciré. Haré famoso tu nombre y serás una bendición. Bendiciré a los que te bendigan y maldiciré a los que te maldigan. Por miedo de ti serán bendecidas todas las familias de la tierra. Abraham partió tal como el Señor le había ordenado y Lot se fue con él. Abraham tenía 75 años cuando salió de Harán. Al encaminarse hacia la tierra de Canaán, Abraham se llevó a su esposa Sarai y su sobrino Lot, a toda la gente que habrían adquirido en Harán y todos los bienes que habrían acumulado. Eso es la palabra del Señor. Gracias a Dios.
Will you guys pray with me before we begin? Let's pray. Loving God, we thank you for your word for us this day, and we pray that by it we would hear your voice and that we would be a changed people. We pray that the words of our mouths and the meditations of our hearts together in this place would be pleasing to you. Lord, guide us and be with us in this time. We love you, and it's in your name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
All right. Well, you guys, believe it or not, as Becky just mentioned a second ago, this is the beginning of our summer sermon series. It's welcome to summer. I can't wrap my head around the fact that we're here, that we're rolling into late June and July, and here we are doing this sermon on Zoom. Not what we were expecting when we plotted out this sermon series. And yet it's perfect in its timing, in the sense that this summer we're going to be looking mostly through the Old Testament with this series that we're calling All Things New, where we're focusing on moments and stories in Scripture where people are rerouted because of what God is doing in their midst and in their lives. And so people whose story changes direction suddenly, or where things don't go quite as they expect, and how people respond faithfully to God, how people learn in the midst of that, because I don't think I need to go too far down that road to say that's exactly where we are, right? Is we are in a moment of being rerouted. And as we'll talk about today, that has come with some growing pains and it's been difficult. And yet we know and we stake our hope in the fact that even in this moment, God is leading us forward faithfully. And so I'm looking forward to this series and what we're going to learn today. We start in this this pivotal moment in Scripture, Genesis 12. A lot of people point to this and say this is kind of the linchpin of, you know, this is the moment where Scripture changes. This is the covenant, God's promise to the people that for the rest of the Old Testament and even into the Gospels, people keep pointing back to this moment of God's promise to be faithful, to be with us and to walk with us. And there's this language about blessing, right? That God will bless us and multiply the nations. And I just want us to start there and say, HT, what do you hear in that word blessing that's important for us this morning?
Yeah, I think it's a misconception. I think when we hear the word blessing, we're always thinking possession, because that's what we're used to in this society, right? In this culture, we're a consumer world, and we consume things. I mean, we can probably turn around and look exactly, you know, where we're at, and we're like, we have hundreds of things that we have consumed. And then, and in most part, when someone says, man, you've been blessed, then we look around and be like, you're right, I have this computer, I have this house, I have this car, I'm blessed by like this building that we have at the church, you know, all this stuff. But I think what God is trying to relay here to all of us as his people are, he's saying that when we are blessed, it's not the material possessions, because those are all things that'll go away. And those are all things that Abraham has left. Mm-hmm. But how he blesses the world and the earth is with this people, about this being inclusive, about bringing everyone together, and this act of bringing everyone together and blessing them is the blessing is in itself all the people together.
Yeah. And I think that's an important thing for us to hold on to, because it's tempting to hear that word blessing and filter it through our ears of, ooh, what's Abraham going to get? HT, you alluded to, like, this blessing involves kind of leaving behind something. And so the other big theme in this passage is this idea of journey, right? That God is calling Abraham forward toward this blessing, but it invites Abraham and Sarah and Lot on this journey, and it's a, I think that word is a heavy one, and one that's there's a lot going on there. And Becky, I wondered if you would just kind of say your initial reaction to that notion of the journey that Abraham's being invited into.
Yeah, I think, you know, at first when I first read the passage and read through some of the commentary, I was struck by the nature of, you know, verses 1, 4, and 5, you almost want to separate from verses 2 and 3, because 2 and 3 talk about this great blessing and what it's going to be like, and God's going to essentially take care of us, which is the covenant, it is the promise, but it also comes with this call to leave everything, you know, to go to this unknown place, to, you know, it says, I love it, it says they took all the possessions that they'd gathered that couldn't have been that much and just start this journey with their, you know, people toward a destination where God would bless all the families of the earth. And I think this is the piece of the journey that we often forget, that it's costly. You know, we want to focus on the blessing or the destination instead of, yeah, the journey is also costly, which is why I love this sermon series this summer, because it's this reminder that, you know, there are times when God calls us to reflect, to reroute, to think differently about things, to let go of things. And in that, we are closer to this blessing of God, which is really, you know, the experience of our relationship with God and with one another in a different way. We can be swept up in it. Yeah. On the journey, but it's not always easy. And it required them to, you know, physically get themselves going toward, which I think, you know, I can't even right now. I can barely get myself up and out the door to do anything, right? So we can see how hard that would have been.
Yeah, I think, you know, you're exactly right. We were talking about this a little bit earlier that, you know, it's just a few short chapters and a few generations before this journey that Abraham's on ends in their people being enslaved in Egypt. It's not a simple path to, you know, riches and abundance and blessing and all this. It the road ahead is bumpy. Both immediately in this passage, the whole leaving his homeland and ahead, it's difficult. And yet, I also like what you said, that it opens us up to something new that God is doing. I came across this quote by the theologian David Bosch, who was commenting on the Apostle Paul in the New Testament, but he had this phrase that stuck out to me, talking about, you know, when Paul sets out on his missionary journeys there in Acts, which we just finished studying, he doesn't have this fully formed theology of all of who God is and everything. That doesn't happen on the road to Damascus. He says Paul's theology is shaped as he moves from surprise to surprise. In witnessing what God does. And I love that notion that, you know, that I think we're invited into as well, that Abraham's invited into is part of this journey. Part of the good news of this journey is we learn about God on the road, right? We witness God from, as we move from surprise to surprise, and those surprises happen as we are beyond ourselves, right? Beyond our comfort, you know, our normal They happen in interactions that we don't schedule or expect. Mm-hmm. And so I just think as hard as this journey is, and it is hard, there's something out there on the road for us that we can't experience if we stay in the comfort place, you know, in the known, in the place where we're stuck. So yeah, I like that.
You know, what you're saying just so resonates. I mean, it's that whole idea of action and not words, right? Mm-hmm. But I think we forget that this concept actually comes from like a consumeristic world, right? Because here is God giving Abraham this promise of the unknown. I mean, there's no action there from God.
Yeah.
He just says, go and give up everything and don't take, you know, just take what you have and then go. And then there's going to be this whole fear of the unknown. And for a long time, I'm not going to really give you this promise. You're not going to see anything. And Abraham has to trust that. Right. But then we always, if we come to something like this, we'll always question like, oh, but I haven't seen any action, so no, I'm not gonna do it. Mm-hmm. Right?
It's interesting. You thought it came from that consumer feeling, and I thought it came from a comfort feeling too.
Oh,
like yeah. If it's uncomfortable, then something's wrong. You know, we experience discomfort as, mm-hmm. Oh, where is God? You know, but really in our lives as we live, it there's not a promise that things won't be uncomfortable. And often in the discomfort, we can see God at work and things are happening. It just doesn't always feel comfortable for us, which it couldn't have been for Abraham, right? Just go, nope. Take your whole family, take everything you have and just, you know, go.
Yeah.
So that you made me think of that. It's just another twist.
Yeah. And I was hearing that too. And I think part of that discomfort, another layer of that is we are in HT, I think you've said this in kind of our consumeristic mindset, we're end result kind of people, you know, and so the notion of being on a journey, I think immediately feels like, well, okay, how do we get to the end of the journey, right? Like how do we arrive at completion at the finish line? And there isn't a finish line in this journey, especially, you know, as God calls Abraham to go, calls us to join Christ on the road, there's an unease there in saying the journey is the important thing, not the destination, and the most important thing is that we begin this journey and that we follow Christ. And man, that you're right, that goes against our okay, but yeah, but what then, like where, you know, it's the are we there yet kind of mentality.
It's encompassed all over scripture. I mean, I love that. We listened to that podcast from the Seattle Presbytery leaders, which we can link to, I think, for our churches, because I think it just drives that journey piece forward even more. And it makes me, I guess my question for us as we dig into this passage a little bit more is, you know, what's the message for the church? What's the call for us as the church that comes from Abraham and Sarah's faithfulness here? What do you guys think?
Well, I think that in this pandemic, in this time of unrest, in this time of change, if we don't take advantage of this opportunity to actually do the things that we've been planning on, right? I think in our conversations, you know, Becky, you mentioned that, you know, even when we were at what we felt was normal, we were still trying to figure out who we were, mm-hmm. right? And who we wanted to become. So then if we're not taking this as a kick in our pants, you know, like, and saying, hey, this is our time to go ahead and do the things that we were trying to do, right? If we don't do those things, then we're going to just end up back exactly where we were. And that means that from this the start of the pandemic to now, we haven't moved at all. And that's death. Mm-hmm. I mean, that is literally death. That's what the scripture talks about as lukewarm, mm-hmm. right? There isn't any movement. You're just stuck. You're stagnant. You're stuck. So if we're not taking this as an advantage, or if we're not taking advantage of this opportunity that we're in, and God showing us like, hey, look, I'm giving you this time. Go and do what I have called you to do, and go on this journey. Start, you know, start moving. You know, pack up what you need to. You know, pack up your family, you know, and this family might be our community, especially if we're looking at it at the church. You know, grab your community, you know, don't take anything you're stuck on, but try something new. And I just think that's so important.
Yeah, I hear that. And I think that's really helpful. And I think if I had kind of what's the word for the church? I think it's connected to what you're saying, HT. It's that notion of, for me, that destination piece that, and I'll admit to this, I feel this in my bones of sometimes of like, when we get back to normal, there will be this kind of like, like we've arrived, right? We're back. We're at the destination. And this is such a helpful reminder, a corrective for me of like, no, that's not the destination. Like normal, whatever that was, because even before, if we rewind to January, that normal, that wasn't the destination. You know, we hadn't arrived at holiness, at this place that at God's kingdom on earth and in our midst. And so for us to confuse comfort with the destination, I think is the warning here, and to embrace. To say, let's just get rid of the notion of destination altogether, and say as we step into whatever comes next, whatever is, you know, it's all a part of this journey. And the good news in that, the gracious invitation is, it's on that journey, that unsettledness, that unknown, that we get to experience what God's doing, God's blessing, that inclusion that HT was talking about earlier, that sense of bringing people along in that process. And I want to be a part of that, you know, like rather than just getting back to what makes me feel comfortable. And so I think that's my encouragement, is that we let go of that idea of destination, and we say, okay, God, what's the next surprise? Like where are we going, and respond to that.
What about you? I love that quote's thought, like from, you know, from surprise to surprise. It was a good way to live through this, because I do think, you know, all of us are experiencing this in similar ways and very different ways. For some of us, this is very busy. For some of us, this is very slow and everything slowed down. Some people are, you know, in lonely, while others, you know, are wanting more alone time. You know, everyone's in a different spot with it. But if we have this mindset that we just want to get back to normal, like you said, Austin, we might miss everything that God has offered to us during this time, because I know the nature of the gospel and the nature of our relationship is to be together physically, but I also know that we are still together as the church. Mm-hmm. And so there's work to be done as we're scattered in our own homes, and there's a temptation to just sort of do nothing or not look for God because we just want to focus on this destination that actually doesn't really exist.
No.
But, you know, when we come back together, it won't be the same. We are being transformed in this moment. And I think that's the Abraham and Sarah call that we can follow, is to not be focused on the destination, like you all said, but to live into the journey from surprise to surprise, and let it transform us. Let it transform us personally. Let it transform our vision, our ministries, our future.
That's good news for sure.
Well said.
Well, can I pray for us?
Yeah, please.
Awesome. Thanks, friends. Let's pray. Loving and faithful God, we pray that you would teach us what it means to be blessed by you. We pray that we would be people who lean into the journey of following you faithfully, and that we recognize your Spirit's leading from surprise to surprise, from moment to moment. and that we would never forget, that though the road might be rocky or confusing, that we might have to double back at times and turn around, we are always moving closer and closer to you, and that you never leave us or forsake us. So God, be with us as we learn and grow this summer. And I thank you so much for the gift of such great colleagues and such great church people to do this work with. We love you. And it's in the name of Jesus Christ we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Thanks, you guys.
Thank you.
Thank you.